So when I was thinking about what to talk to you all about this morning, I realized we had some unfinished business from the last time that I was here. But the only catch was I couldn't remember exactly where we were. So we're going to fix that today. So I thought about it and I said, well, if I covered something that I covered the last time I did Bible study and you had to hear it again, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. I feel like that would be beneficial. So the last time I stood before you, we talked about prayer. And that was just a simple, you know, if I had to give it a title, that's what I would name it, just prayer, right? And if I had to give it a subtitle, I might say the purpose of prayer, right? So let me ask this question. I asked you all how your week was, and everybody, you know, good. And did you pray for anybody this week?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody care to share who? You don't have to give too many details, but go ahead.
I have a coworker named Catherine. She's, they thought she just had some kind of spinal stenosis that was making her unknown and painful. She has a history of breast cancer several years ago, and they found out she has metastasis that's causing, right now, her arm is totally.
So you took the opportunity to pray for her. Okay. Who else?
My grandson, who had a severe accident at work, and he's doing somewhat better right now. And Judy Taylor and Pat Hilliger, which both of them have severe health problems, and prayer also was for them to come back to church, which they did Sunday, praise God. And, you know, it's my daughter's in-laws, both of them COVID, but they thought at one point that he had a stroke, which they ruled out, but God's good. He answers prayers.
Amen. Amen. So in the early 2000s, there was a study done, and they asked a little bit over 1,000 Americans. They asked them, what do they believe, and how do they practice their faith? And so one of the questions was, what do you think is the most important purpose of prayer? So their responses were, and I'll give you the percentages, to seek God's guidance, 27%, to thank God, 23%. To be close to God or the divine, 19%. To help others, 13%. To improve a person's life, 9%. Other was 4%. And then don't know was 5%. So I asked the question to you all this morning. We talked about how a couple people shared that they prayed for individuals. What do you believe is the purpose of prayer?
Communication with God.
Communication with God, somewhat of a direct line,
yes.
Right? Okay. What else?
To pray without ceasing. So it's to pray with thanksgiving. He says he wants to know, he said to bring all our prayers and petitions before him, to boldly approach the throne of God. I feel almost like it's a duty as a Christian to pray.
So, Sister Annette, I thought I had a secure connection here, but I don't know how you hacked into my notes. So we can go ahead and pray again, and now we're ready for worship to start, because you summed it up right there. But how about this? How about I expound on some things? You hit it on the head, though. And you know the beautiful part about it, and I'm starting to learn this myself, and this is something you guys may have already been practicing, but you don't have to wait to do it. And what I mean by that is, people tell me things all the time, like when I'm at work, you know, like personal, something that's personal that's going on. And I might walk away and just, as I'm walking back to wherever I'm going, mm-hmm. just say a little prayer, mm-hmm. right? It's so easy. Mm-hmm. And you know, we talk about communication with God, and I mentioned that direct line, right? With the right heart and the right spirit in Jesus' name, we can do that anywhere, mm-hmm. right? Anywhere, anytime. So when we think about the many reasons to pray, we got to remember the purpose of prayer. I think we could sort of break it down into four different letters, right? And it's easy to remember. Acts, okay? The first letter in that acronym of Acts is adoration. The reason we pray, right? We want to express adoration. So would I be making a too forward or too bold of a statement if I said to you all that God is certainly worthy of our praise and our adoration? Is that too bold of a statement to make? That's something that you all would agree with, right? While we can praise God in song, which we know we do often, right? Mm-hmm. We can praise him in prayer. I was praising him in song on the way over here, in the car, mm-hmm. by myself, right? And also praying that I, even though I was driving a little faster than I should to get over here, and I saw some police officers, my speed was under the, but I was rushing a little bit, right? But in the midst of it all, I was still praising God, even on the way here, in song. But we can think about praising God in prayer. When Paul prayed for the Ephesians, he took time to praise God. We know the example of David in his adoration and praise. In 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13, the Bible reads, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." So we know that adoration is one of the purposes of our prayer. We can express adoration, but it's not the only purpose of prayer. Right? So we think about continuing that acronym. We mentioned adoration, and then the next letter would be C, confession. This is the one that we don't always enjoy as much, right? Or at least I know I don't. I'm grateful for that avenue, but I don't enjoy that one as much, right? But confession. We need to confess our sins. One of the things we realize is that we can't hide anything from God. You know, we may be able to hide things from each other. You know, I was talking about driving over here, and I may be able to get my speed down fast enough that the officer doesn't clock me, right? But God knew I was speeding, right? So there's nothing that, and the beauty of it all is that when you think about this morning, and these sisters mentioned different situations that their co-worker and family are going through, we know we serve a God that he can handle all those things at once. Sometimes when I'm at work, I feel like my colleagues joke on me because, you know, you open up my Google Chrome and I've got a whole bunch of different windows open, right? And sometimes I kind of feel like that impacts my processing. You know, it impacts the processing on my computer. It makes it run a little slower, right? But I think sometimes it messes up my processor and my brain also. But that's not the case with God. He's got all these different windows open for everybody's different situations, and nothing is too big for him, including our ability through prayer to confess our sins. There's mercy to be found in confessing one's sin. Let's look at Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. And you're more than welcome to turn to it, you can listen to me read it as well. Proverbs 28 and 13.
Can I read it?
Go ahead.
whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy.
You know, this reminds me of when I was growing up, and I see this now myself with my own children. When I ask them, somebody, you know, who did this? I of course have three, right? Four, six, and seven. And so when I ask them, who did so-and-so, who left this whatever out here? My youngest one, her first answer is not me. I don't want to know who didn't do it. I want to know who did do it, right? So, but that whole idea of confessing, right? They don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. And like I can remember my dad saying when we were growing up, you know, in a situation like that, he'd say, it doesn't matter. I just want you to tell the truth, right? I want you to tell the truth. So I look at this particular verse and I think about it. You can't, he says, he who covers his sin will not prosper. You can't hide it from God. Right? I'm already going to know. It's like he's saying, it doesn't matter. Just tell me. Confess. My mercy. I've got mercy on you. Right? So the Christian enjoys the cleansing of sin by the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 10. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 10. Let's look at that. It reads, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we can see some examples in the Bible about confession of sins. Jesus provided an example in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, a story we're familiar with, in Luke 18. Again, David provides an example with his confession of sin. I'm not going to ask you, have you confessed any sin this week? I asked you, did you pray for anybody? I'm not going to ask you that, right? But we know that that's all a part of it, too, right? Mm-hmm. You can't do one without the other. Mm-hmm. But this is the avenue that we use. So obtaining forgiveness by confessing sins is a blessing now enjoyed only through Christ. Once we have put on Christ, prayer is crucial to remaining forgiven. So the T. I think we like the T a little bit more than we like the C, right? The C was confession. Can anybody guess what the T might be? That's it. It's not fair. I told you she has my notes. Right. She said, if you couldn't hear her, she said thankfulness. Or thanksgiving. Which, you know, we hear that and we tend to think of turkey, ham, you know, mac and cheese, collards, and all that kind of stuff, right? Pumpkin pie. But I stopped going. I'm getting hungry. Saying all that stuff, right? But we know that Thanksgiving is not, I heard somebody say Happy Valentine's Day when I got here, right? And so I told my wife I'm not getting her anything for Valentine's Day because Valentine's Day is every day.
Yeah.
Does it work like that, Uncle Weston?
Post-intended.
He's a little more seasoned than me, so I'll take his advice, right? I didn't say that. Because this is the day, right? But all the other girls got something, right? No, but, you know, Thanksgiving is not just something that we do just like Valentine's Day on a day, right? We do it all the time, 24/7, 365. And we don't have enough time this morning for us to all talk about things that we're thankful for. We could do a round robin. Just since the last time you were in this building, the things that you have to be thankful for are immeasurable, right? The things that you realize and those things that you often take for granted, right? So Thanksgiving. Being thankful is emphasized repeatedly in exhortations to pray. we're familiar with Ephesians 5 and 20. Giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or another verse that we're familiar with tells us that the antidote to anxiety is to pray for everything with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So we've got some examples of offering thanksgiving. Christ set an example of thanksgiving in Matthew 11 and 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. I like Daniel's custom with thanksgiving. Y'all know what Daniel's custom was? What did he do? How many times a day? Do we do that? Some days, maybe, right? We pray for our meals. Does that count? We eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Can we put ourselves on that plane with Daniel? Yeah. I mean, you can't pray too much. The more the better, right? So praying for your meals, before your meals, is nice. I'm trying to get my, I'm constantly working to make sure my kids understand that, you know. And, you know, your prayer may not necessarily always be the bowing your head, closing your eyes, with your hands up on your knees in the prayer closet. Sometimes it's when you're walking away from somebody who shared something traumatic that they had going on. I'm going to be honest with you. I have a co-worker. He's the school resource officer at my school. And he lost his wife to cancer 2 years ago. And it's interesting because people know who knows the Lord, right? They know who knows the Lord. So he's come to me and we've talked about different things. And, you know, we sat there some days and I just prayed with him, you know. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, these students that I work with, and, you know, I work in a high school. I see a ton of different things all the time. And certain situations that students go through, right? I may not necessarily pray with them, but you better believe I'm praying for them, right? And there's no harm in that. That doesn't cause me anything. I can do that all the time, right? So we know Daniel's custom. He prayed and thanked God 3 times a day. We can't discount the importance of thanksgiving in our prayers, especially if we expect God to answer us as we make requests for future blessings. This leads to the final letter, where S is for
He said salvation. Is that right?
I like. See, it's kind of one of those. But he doesn't have my notes, so that's not the answer I had in mind. However, is it kind of one of those things where, is that wrong? That's not wrong. That's just not the note I had. But that's not wrong, right? Supplication. But that's okay, because I probably wouldn't have either, right? Especially if this were multiple choice, salvation. Yeah, that makes sense, right? What is supplication? Because you have to look it up. We hear that, you know, with prayer and stuff. But the act of asking a God or someone who is in a position of power for something in a humble way. Do we do that with God? Do we ask him for something in a humble way? Well, we should. I know the answer. Some of the heads are shaking no, because we don't always, but when we're genuinely coming, when we are coming to God and we're asking him for something, do we do it in a humble way?
I think if we remember who we address in through prayer, you can't help but be humble. Yeah. I am so insignificant before his majesty that I can't help but being humble about it.
So we pray in earnest, more so in humility, because of the fact that we want our prayers answered and want God to hear us. So we're urgent, you know. But even though it's taking time now, but just answer this prayer, you know.
Yeah.
But to be humble is to give of yourself and to make yourself feel that loneliness, you know. And the thing for me, it made me realize how great, I mean, just kind of put it in perspective for me a little bit. Living in those, the movies of seeing these kings and whatnot that sit up on the throne and how far away they are from people that come to them. You don't just walk in and walk up to them. You know, it's like, it's further than from this wall to the front of that building, you know, and still, you know, you still got a distance to go. And that's just how great they are and how humble you make yourself that you can't even approach them and like, talk about it. So it really makes you realize that what humbleness is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're in that state of humble.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into prayer with myself. Sometimes I am at that low that I have no other way but to bow and be humble.
Yeah.
You know, not because I'm just asking you for something, because this is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm.
You're the king.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sitting up there, I'm here.
Right.
And sometimes the Holy Spirit will bring you to humble before the king.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't, you think about it like, I don't know, I didn't do that right. I didn't go to God right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not just one of us. He's more than
that.
Yes, I can talk to him like I'm talking to you. But he's the king. He's everything.
You know, that's an excellent point, sis. And I'm going to piggyback on what Uncle Wes said in a minute. You know, I've heard it said before from a parent, I'm not one of your little friends, right? Watch you when you're talking to me, because I'm not one of your little friends, right? And I think that when you think about that, that's a comical example, but God is a friend, but we can't approach him the same way, right? And even though he's readily available to us, right, we still have to show some humility in the way that we approach him. And I think one of the big things is we got to remember to see God as God, right? Sometimes people throw the word, the name God around so often, just like friend, just like love, that they water down his majesty, right? So we got to remember that God is God. He has the power that he has. And I like the way you put it, Uncle Wesley, because, you know, my example, you another one, y'all not playing fair because you in my notes too. You know, I'm thinking about a movie like, you talk about a king. I'm thinking about like some kind of mob movie, right? Or, you know, like a gangster. You can't just, like, when you walk up to the door, whatever, and it's always like some kind of shady little place, you know, and you walk up to the door and there's like this big guy there, right? He's got to pat you down, make sure you don't have any kind of weapons or anything, or make sure you don't mean any kind of trouble. And even then, you gotta see so-and-so before you see, right? So this person is like, but this is the difference, though. These people are untouchable, right? And in a lot of ways, unapproachable, but not God. That's where we want to draw the line of distinction. He's very approachable. But what the point we're trying to make is, when we come, we got to come correct. We got to make sure that we're coming with humility. So again, supplication. The act of asking someone who is in a position of power for something in a humble way. So we're encouraged to make supplication. We're encouraged to let our requests be known to God. And again, sharing this again. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We are commanded to make supplications for all men. 1 Timothy 2:1-2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Do you find yourselves praying for people that are not necessarily in your circle?
I find myself that when I hear a siren going to like a car accident, I automatically go and pray for that person. I don't know them, but I pray for them that they will survive the accident. Or if I heard from somebody there was an accident and somebody passed away, I will pray for the family because I hope that somebody would do the same for me.
And you don't even have to know that person.
Exactly.
Know? And when you see an accident, y'all are looking anyway. You're looking anyway. So you might as well pray. Mm-hmm. Right? Or I'm the only one looking.
Well, sometimes you don't see the accident, but you know where they're going to. And so it's, to me, I think it's appropriate to pray for the people that were involved in that.
Can I tell you something? This is not to the same extent, but because what I just said, you're looking anyway. This was last year, maybe. I had gone to pick up my youngest from daycare, and I'm on Crater Road, right in front of Crater Square, okay, apartments. And there's some houses on the other side of the street. And I saw something. I could see, you know, a large police presence, and what's going on here? So I'm parked because there's a truck in front of me, and I can't go any further. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, and I can see what's going on, and it looks like they're getting ready to kick this door in for whatever reason. And this is not the kind of stuff you see in real life. You know, so I'm really intrigued. You can see they got the police officers at the front of the door. Then you got guys going around the side. And I'm talking about they got their guns. You know, I'm like, whoa, this is. And then somebody else is going around the other side. And then they got the little battering ram. And, you know, the Petersburg police. And I'm thinking, this is exciting. This is the kind of stuff like my dad would tell me stories about, right? So they went on in the door, and I'm thinking in my mind, somebody's gonna run out the, you know, cause, you know, too much TV, right? And so then I looked up and realized it, nothing was happening. And then I looked up, and there's a line of cars, and I'm looking in my side view mirror, there's a line of cars behind me. And I realized the truck in front of me is an unmarked police car. That's just sitting there, Uncle Wesley. Like, the person driving the truck is probably in there doing whatever. So I'm actually holding up the rest of the people. But I say that to say we're looking anyway, right? I don't know the situation, but even in those situations, even if it's maybe not for the, I don't know what the person involved was doing or not doing or whatever, but even the safety of the people that are going in, because that's a dangerous job. Right? Those are the types of things. People that we don't even necessarily know. Right? We can pray for all the time. So examples of making supplication. Real widows are known for their supplication night and day. And I'm not going to read all of these verses in the interest of time. But you're welcome to notate them and look at them later. 1 Timothy 5:5. Then Solomon made supplication at dedication of the temple. In 1 Kings 8:28-29. Jesus even made a supplication as he was crucified. And we know that Stephen also did as he was being stoned. So we think about the acronym, right? ACTS. When we think about the purpose of prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So, go ahead.
That could include another level. I don't know how you would include
yeah.
there, but Prayer is a conversation that we have with God. It's not only a duty, but it's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a blessing, really, for us to have a communication with God. And we're really going and pour our heart out to Him, wanting this, wanting that, praying for this, praying for that. We've got to have the all in there. We've got to take time to listen. You know, God needs to have a chance to talk back to you. And He'll use the Holy Spirit to talk back to you, just like you'll use the Holy Spirit for you to converse with Him. We need to take time to listen. God said, be still and know that I am God. We've got to have time to understand it. It's not just pouring out what I want and what I need and our prayers. God, tell me what I should be doing.
I like that. That's an excellent point. You know, and I like what you said, too, because it is so easy for us to just, God, give me. You know, and if you think about it, if we're not careful, we can look at God like a money tree. You know, just go and just take. And oftentimes, especially in the world that we live in now, where things we like to have so immediately, right? We like them fast. You know, when I go to McDonald's and I get my kids a Happy Meal, I can use the app, and I use the McDonald's app, and I put in the code, they give me a code, and when I get up to the drive-thru, they ask, you know, are you using your mobile order today or your mobile app today? And yes, I have a code. You tell them the code, and you go ahead and drive around. We like it so fast. And then we get up there, you don't want them telling you to pull up to the... Hold on. Right. Or like when I'm in Walmart, and I'm like, oh, this line is ridiculous. Like, I was in the Petersbury Walmart the other day, and I don't normally go in that one. I'm normally in the Colonial Heights. And they have the line feeding in from both ways, and you get up there, and there's nobody directing you to where to go, so you just got to get in where you fit in, really. And you do all that waiting to get into a line where you got to wait again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are the types of things that we like fast, right? And so we tend to think that same thing applies when we're dealing with God. Well, and that's the reason why we tend to sometimes treat Him like a money tree. Because we just want to, wait a minute, you're telling me I have this power that I can just ask Him for whatever I want and He'll give it to me? That's a very elementary understanding of our relationship with God, right? It doesn't work that way. But if you think that, you see, and you don't, and in your mind, I don't have to give Him reverence. He does this for me because He wants me to be a better person. So He'll do this for me. That's not how it works, right? And so using our relationship with God, maximizing that relationship means that we do have to listen. What is He trying to say to me, right? And we understand that it's not going to come in the form of something walking in the door. This is the answer to your prayer. No, it doesn't work like that, right? God wants us to be more mature in our thinking, to realize it doesn't work that way. And there are things that work in His time, and in His time is not our time. Right? How much time we got, Uncle Wesley?
Still about 10 minutes.
Okay. So, and this is just, y'all, feel free to chime in. Describe a time when God answered an important prayer in your life. And then, how did the way God answered that prayer affect your relationship with Him?
I think my first prayer that I lifted up to God was when my grandson was in that bad accident quite a few years ago because nobody thought that he was going to make it. And Mike and me stayed just in prayers all the time. But he survived. Not exactly the way we prayed for him, but he is living and he's making a living and he's doing good. That was one time where I thought my faith just grew by bounds, because God answered the prayers. Maybe not exactly the way we wanted it, but he answered the prayers. And Nathan is doing awesome. And I think my second time was when Mike was in the hospital, and we just got the news that morning that they've done everything they could for him. And I locked myself in the ladies' room and just sobbed to God, asking him that if he is meant to go, to take him before he would lay there and gasp for breath. Mike passed that same night. And again, I didn't want to go right then, but God saw that, you know, what needed to be done. And then Mike saying before he went to sleep and didn't wake up no more, I know where I'm going. Those were powerful prayers. They were answered with power, and they make me grow so much spiritually that to me, prayers are just the most powerful thing that God has given us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Philip, I'm going to answer that question with a kind of like today.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughter called, when her parents called last night and said, because they haven't stayed over in a very long time, because mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, how much she's grown, and said she wants to spend the night because, you know, because I don't have all the things that Nintendo and all that good stuff, but she wanted to stay the night. So she stayed the night, and this morning we literally talked about some of the same things that you were talking about. So I was glad I didn't pull her, because I was going to try to have a children's class with her. So we talked about prayer, and she told me that her mom and her brother are reading Psalms 23 every night. And she said, well, my mom was supposed to tell you that last night so we could do that before I went to bed. Because I hug her and, you know, anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. But for her to say that, so we did my daily reading this morning, and we read some scriptures, and we talked about prayer. And she was like, I don't know what to pray for, and talked about thankfulness. So she listed three things that she was thankful for. So a lot of times we are in this class, and we talk about praying, and we want our young people to come back. But I want to say I am thankful and continue to know that somewhere that the seeds that I'm continuing to pray for, because my children, they are somehow in their homes still imparting God's word. Even if it's, when I say it and I'm not trying to belittle it, just one verse, one chapter, Psalms 23, to let that be something.
Mm-hmm.
My Angelo, her brother, is now going to a Christian school, Western Christian. They took him out to public school because they were having concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't want to come just spend the night, because he doesn't want to come to church. He has honestly told me that. But somewhere, somehow, he's getting fed because he goes to a Christian school now. He is, has to take it. Those are prayers that are being answered in ways I would have never thought of.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So.
Yeah. And God doesn't always do it the way we think.
Right.
Which really speaks to what you just said as well. And, you know, I think there's a different level of maturity that we hit spiritually when we understand that God's answer to our prayers is not always what we want. And you thought about, you know, you mentioned you could have asked for your husband to get better, right? But would that have been even the most effective use of your prayer? Because God's going to do what he's going to do, regardless of whether it's what we want or not.
That's right.
Right? So I remember that, you know, with my father when he was ill. And I realized that at one point, you know, okay, you know how when they had the midair collision up in D.C. with the Black Hawk in the plane, you know, or you could use, that's just a more recent example, but you use other situations have happened, and they turn from a rescue mission to a recovery mission, right? So when I think about my dad, it was very similar. Like, he's not going to get better. And that was one of the things that we had to kind of relay to my one of my brothers, you know, because he was talking about all these different herbal this and herbal that, and it's like, oh, man, you know, this is, my dad told us, he said, this is real life, you know, and I think at that point, that's when reality began to set in. But that maturity level to understand that my relationship with God can still grow, even when he doesn't answer my prayers the way that I want them to be answered, right? That doesn't, and see, that's the thing, that's where we come in, because I also believe that he is using situations that we're in as examples for other people, right? So in a lot of ways, we go through things not just for ourselves, but for the glory of God. Because somebody could be looking at the way that you handle your husband, right? And his situation. And, wow, there's something different about her. That's not normal. That's not what a normal person would do, right? So I think God is still using us in the situations that we go through to glorify his name. What do you think keeps people from praying on a regular basis?
Fear.
What was that?
Fear.
Fear.
I hear people say, I don't know what to say.
Okay. Okay.
And I think complacency, we get so caught up in our daily life that we forget. It's to me, it's shameful. We get so busy with our life and forget about God. But I've done it.
Yeah.
You know, you get so caught up in your life and your daily routine, and nighttime comes and I haven't even talked to God today, or I haven't even opened up the Bible today.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's like, what's wrong with you?
And we need to stay off of social media so much, which I don't stay off of that TV, worried about what the folks doing up there in the White House, because we can't change that.
Right.
And you had a chance to change it, but you didn't. So, God is still in control of all, you know, all of that. Shut that down sometimes and open up the Word, because that's more important than what the world is doing. God's Word is more important to us. We got to shut the world out sometimes and just let God talk to us. Like Jerry said, listen. He's trying to tell us something, listening, but we're too busy listening to everything around us, and we're not listening to him at all.
Well, my dad would say, you know, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth so we can listen twice as much as we speak, right? And so, you know, sometimes it is just shutting out everything else, right? All the other distractions. God's Word is timeless. It's a timeless classic. It never gets old. It's still relevant. And it even amazes me sometimes how relevant it is, even to things that we go through today, things that we haven't even seen before in history. God's Word is still relevant to, you know. We have a great power as we're coming to a close. We have a great power in prayer. We have a great power in prayer. And I think we need to use it, not abuse it. When I think about complacency, I think about sometimes things that I pray for. When God grants my prayer, I don't always remember to thank him for it, you know? And look how easy it is to say, oh, look at what I did. Look at me, you know? The position that I'm in right now is a promotion from the position that I was in for the last 12, 13 years at my school. And I prayed about it. And God gave me that. And I need to remember that when I'm tired and I'm stressed, and I got a lot of different windows open, right? And I'm trying to balance a lot. I got to remember that two things. One, this is what I prayed for. Two, God wouldn't have brought me into this spot if he wasn't going to see me through. I think we see that sometimes when we think about, like, challenges that we go through, trials. not necessarily blessings that we pray for, right? We think, oh, you know, God will see me through whatever it is. He wouldn't have brought me to it if he wasn't going to bring me through it. The same thing with things that we pray for that sometimes can not always go the way we expect. We know that he's still in control.
And that comes to a good point because my dad suffered from leukemia for many years, and I went home every year. Well, the last time I went home, as soon as I walked in the room, I knew my dad wasn't going to be there for very much longer. So I went out in the yard, and I'm praying, asking God, let me go home before he passed. Let me go home before he passed. I cannot be there when he passes away. God's answer was no. I had to be there. I was there by his side. I was holding his hand, and I was glad. And praise God for saying no to me, because had I not been there, I would have just been devastated that he had gone. But and I think as Christians, we have to accept no sometimes. Mm-hmm. And don't fight against it, mm-hmm. You know. Ask God to go with you through this difficult time when he says no. And to come out better and stronger on the other end. And but I think a lot of times we want to fight against, why didn't you give me what I asked for? Why did you make me go through this? Mm-hmm. And when it should be the opposite, you know, help me get through this then.
That's right. That's a great point. We got to remember that God is in control, so let us let him control.
I just want to add one point to what you've been saying the whole time, and everybody's been saying that when we become a little bit more knowledgeable of things, we understand things better, it helps us. And what we have to keep focused on is the fact that when we pray, it's got to be in keeping in accordance with God's will. Because we can pray all day long for what we want. But if it's not for what's within God's will, then we're not going to get it. You know?
Yeah.
And because of our lifestyle and the world that we live in, we get brainwashed and we see this and we're being told this all the time. Oh, you can get what you want, you have it your way, you know, it's your will, you can do whatever you want to do. That's what the devil is teaching us and showing us. But that's not what God said. We're supposed to be doing his will and following what he wants. And when we do that, he will give us what we need. Not what we want. He'll give us what we need. When we pray, we're supposed to be praying for others. I mean, we're going to pray for ourselves too. What we need, we ask God for. He knows what we need. We still have to ask for it. We get caught up in the world too much, and we want this, and we want that, and I'd like to have this, instead of, I would rather see this person succeed, or this person come to you, I'd rather see this person do something good with their life, help me, Lord, to do your will this day, instead of, let me go ahead and make this amount of money today.
That's right, yeah. We got to remember our prayer, and in whatever we're asking for, we're making sure that we're at the end of it, we're saying, if that's in your will, if that's according to your will. In other words, he knows it's not going to happen unless it's not in his will, but it's us acknowledging that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as again we come before you, Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity that we've had this morning to talk about the very same thing we're doing right now, and that's praying. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to come to you as our God and just ask you for what it is that we need, Father, but to listen to you, but to just give thanksgiving for the things that you do in our lives. Father, we ask that something was said this morning that would just be seared into our hearts and that would spur us on to be better servants and better Christians, Father, for you and as we labor in your kingdom. Father, be with us as we go into this period of worship, that everything that we do and say would be pleasing unto your sight. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.